Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Bernie mentioned in the news the number of people being admitted to hospital with pretty traumatic injuries as a result of e-scooter incidents. There's been a 50% jump in the numbers since June of last year. 18 children between June 2025 and May of this year, and at least 7 more have been admitted since then. Take a listen to Dr. Turlough Bulger. He's a consultant in emergency medicine, and he spoke to Clare here a little earlier.
When you look at the numbers coming in before and after the ban, it's quite stark, really. Before the ban in May 2024, we saw one child admitted with a traumatic brain injury into CHI. In the 12 months after the ban, we saw 12 children admitted. And in the second year after the ban, we saw that 12 go up to 18 children. And more recently, in a two-week period in early June, we saw 7 children admitted to the intensive care unit with traumatic brain injuries due to e-scooters. So it is a problem that is accelerating, that is very serious, and something really needs to be done about it.
Dr. Chris Luke, who's a retired consultant in emergency medicine and a healthcare commentator, is with me here on the programme today. Chris, I don't want to kind of sensationalise the extent of this, but it might actually be worth just explaining to us, what kind of injuries are we talking about? What's the extent of the damage?
I suppose it's difficult without becoming too gory to drill down or magnify, you know, in terms of, you know, the lens focused on injured children. But basically, they can injure their head, which is a little bit like an egg with a yolk inside. And the simplest thing that happens is that the egg shell is cracked and that the yolk leaks out. Sometimes the eggshell is not cracked, the skull in other words, and the yolk can be shaken about within the eggshell. Now, it's the yolk that matters most because the skull bone will heal most times if it's just a simple crack, typically over the ears, because that's obviously the thinnest part of the skull. But basically, what we're told by the neurosurgeons particularly and the emergency physicians in the city centre emergency departments in Temple Street and the matter is that when the child from anywhere between 10 and 16, 17 hits a pothole or the edge of a curb or a manhole cover with the e-scooter, they are catapulted forward by, 4, 5, 6, 7 meters, and they may hit an oncoming vehicle. They may hit a bollard or the curb, and so it all depends on the force with which they're thrown off the vehicle. But suffice it to say, if you're thrown more than a meter or two, you are going to do severe damage to your head, typically to your face. They break their cheekbones, their jaws.
I've heard some of the dental reconstruction, reconstructive work that's required, Chris. I've heard from medics in cases like this can be terribly traumatic.
Huge. I mean, they may never be able to eat properly again. Their jaws may be permanently damaged and they'll have pain in chewing or eating. That's, of course, if they recover from the head injury.
At all.
And sadly, the neurosurgeons are on public record in the last couple of weeks saying that most of the intensive care unit victims, the children, will not recover. And so the injuries, when I say the yolk, I'm trying to be a sort of, I'm trying not to get into the absolute devastation with, bits of brain.
No, you're explaining it well.
So basically, what matters is the circuitry of the brain. So you can have a lot of bruising on the outside and wounds and bleeding and swelling. But the crucial thing is whether the circuits within the soft computer of the brain itself are still functioning. And sadly, what often happens is that even if the child lives, that they are left with the inability to speak, inability to swallow, inability to look after themselves. They become totally dependent on 24-hour day care, or they might make some progress with occupational therapy and weeks or so as inpatients in the rehabilitation centre in Dunleary and so on. And then, of course, you come down to the more minor or modest injuries, which are the injuries of the limbs, broken elbows, broken wrists, broken knees, broken hips, broken pelvises, and so on. And they, of course, can require, and they often do require, orthopedic surgery. And, you know, one of the side effects of all of this is that the poor children with spinal injuries and, you know, congenital orthopedic issues and problems with the head, like hydrocephalus that are congenital, and these children who are on really long waiting lists, they are on even more lengthening waiting lists, because the neurosurgeons also tell us that they're spending so much time now dealing with e-scooter-related head injuries and spinal injuries that the waiting lists are growing and growing, because right. the resources are limited anyhow.
So they're being catapulted to the top of the emergency surgery list if a complex
exactly so.
Case, Chris,
exactly,
comes in.
Exactly so. And that, of course, is an issue that we have
That's
to always remember.
Issue.
One of the difficulties with all our acute hospitals is that whatever comes through the emergency department often displaces what is in the theatre or is due to be in the theatre that very day, which is of course the key argument for having standalone elective hospitals, you know, like Kappa. And you know, not have, if you don't have an emergency department, you just get on with your scheduled list. So I must say, as somebody who spent 3.5 decades in emergency departments, I do sympathise with the idea of elective hospitals.
One of the things I thought was quite interesting, and we're going to talk to callers, Chris, as well, who've been getting in touch about this, it's 1800 453 106 is the number, that, you know, that CHI, the Children's Health Ireland, have also pointed to the fact that prior to May 2024, when the legislation was passed making the e-scooters legal, there'd only been one child who was admitted with a brain injury, you know, due to an e-scooter incident. Almost 40 have been admitted since.
Yeah, I to be honest, I mean, I think that's entirely coincidental. I mean, the reality is that, you know, things do happen entirely as a coincidence. And I think that what happened was that the legislation, which takes obviously a long time to plan, like it can take months or years to come up with a bill and a paper and legislation and enact it and then enforce it. So I think what was happening was that the sales of e-scooters were about to explode anyway. And that's what's happened. They've exploded. And, you know, I sometimes think that it's quite like the head shop situation 15, 16 years ago, when the shops selling cannabis paraphernalia pivoted in about 2008, 2009 to sell so-called legal highs. And we then had this explosion of psychiatric cases attending emergency departments all around the country as dozens of these pop-up, you know, head shops opened all around the place. And we had a massive backlash. And of course, people, you know, were devastated to see their young adult children becoming so psychotic and so mentally deranged that they have never recovered. And there are casualties of the head shop era that will never recover in the same way as people will not recover from the e-scooter.
From some injury. Of the injuries that you've detailed here today and that were mentioned a little earlier here in the station as well. Chris, can you stay with us for a moment? And I appreciate your time here today with us. John is with me on the line, because John, I believe, were you knocked down by an e-scooter?
It was 4 years ago, Andrew. I was nearly killed. I was coming off the bus and I came out the back of the bus. It was a one-way street, so I shouldn't be looking to my left, only to my right, where the traffic was coming. And I just stepped out, and what was happening, a girl came down on an e-scooter, a right, pretty powerful one, and instead of letting the bus pull off, this is the way when I walked it out of my head how it happened, she sped up. Instead of letting the bus come out. And the minute I stepped out from the back of the bus at high speed, she just blew me up in the air. Now, I tell you, the impact now, Andrew, you know, was so hard. I really thought it was after being hit by a truck.
You were thrown in the air, John, were you? Is that what you said?
I was blown out across in the middle of the road. Now, she fell off the road scooter, like. But the thing is, I really thought, when I eventually realised it was after happening, it was after being hit by something, Andrew. It was the most saddest moment of my life. I was trying to get up off of my feet, and the first thing came into my head, I'm crippled for life, my legs are gone. I couldn't feel my legs at the fight. My heart was going 1,000 miles an hour. Oh, I didn't get a heart attack, it's beyond me, right? But only for getting my hand out. I said, done a lot of fitness training during my life. And when I crashed down on the ground, my father was protected by my arm, and I had a heavy jacket on at the time because it was winter time. But only for that, you and me wouldn't be having this conversation today.
John.
And ever since that day, this is something that hasn't come up now. I have post-traumatic stress. I used to love going into Cork City, into my city, Andrea. And never took it for granted. But now when I go in, I'm constantly on edge. If something came up behind me, if a person was only running for a bus, and I just felt that kind of shadow coming towards me, straight away, I'm back there the day of the e-scooter. If I see a scooter coming towards me, I mean, I stiffen up as well. I have post-traumatic stress, no one possibly will have it for the rest of my life.
Well, John, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. And, you know, like, you know, you've obviously had a terribly traumatic experience, and you've detailed it very well, because I know it's not easy to do when you are kind of reliving that moment of when it happened, and it's stuck with you. But in terms of physical injuries, I'm sure you went to the hospital. How were you after that, John?
Yeah, the ambulance was called, and they never taken it. They checked me out, and I was worried about my heart, because my heart rate wasn't going down at all. And I was pounding so that you could hear it. I mean, so they got a in. And I had a lot of cuts and things in my elbows and stuff like that. My arms were all scratched and tore. But, like, again, as I say, repeating, the ferocity that I was hit by, that impact still lives with me. Even when I'm crossing the road, and when the green man comes up, I will check two or three times before I cross that road, just in case somebody is breaking the lights. And if I see a shadow or anything come to my left or my right, straight away I'm back there. And I always took my city as a tranquil place to go in, have something to eat in a cafe, do a bit of shopping, whatever. Never entered my mind that anything like this would happen. But I know going down there and I'm not relaxed anymore.
Well, it's shocking to hear that, John. And I think it's only maybe when listeners actually, you know, really hear the impact of incidents like this, that you kind of you sit up and you listen, and you now maybe realise why there's so many calls for these things to be banned. Sarah Beasley's joining us too, John, for a moment. Sarah's a counsellor, an Aintu counsellor based in Limerick. John's case is one of many, Sarah, isn't it?
Thanks, Andrea. Yeah, poor John, I'm so sorry to hear what happened to you down in Cork. We're seeing this the whole time in Limerick. It's absolutely frightening. Like John said, you have a line of sight, but more too often, the e-scooters are zigzagging through traffic. So whether you look to your left or look to your right, you step off the curb and, you know, like something happened to John. And can you imagine that you feel uncomfortable going and doing a bit of shopping in your own city? I mean, what is happening in Limerick is the rise of these e-scooters is just, it's incredible. And, you know, there's two and three children on the e-scooter and they're zigzagging through traffic. The traffic is actually stopping for the scooters because we don't know what the next move is going to be. And, you know, there's been loss of life of young children, and to lose a child has to be the most horrific thing a parent could go through. And children, you know, can you imagine getting the phone call? And it's something that is so preventable. I mean, I would be calling for mandatory helmets at this stage. And obviously Aintu is looking for registration plates and real, real enforcement powers here for the Gardaí.
Yeah, I heard the Garda Commissioner been asked all right about that earlier this week in relation to the registration plates. But the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has said he's now leaning towards a full ban on e-scooters. I mean, it's moved beyond helmets, isn't it?
Yes, and will a full ban work? I'm not sure. I would. And I mean, at the moment, you know, the Gardaí don't want to intercept these vehicles because if anything happens,
That's a whole other situation. And I can, to be fair to that, I can fully appreciate that. You know, I mean,
me too. They just won't tackle it because if someone falls off the e-scooter, it's actually the guard that would be responsible. So they need to be empowered here as well. So look, the figures are just rising. I mean, you know, the fines have been issued. We're detaining only 931 detained e-scooters in 2025, and it's on the rise. And yet, people are still, parents are still buying them for their children.
Just on that, Dr. Chris Luke, retired consultant in emergency medicine, still with us. Are the helmets worth the money, Chris?
I would support a partial ban on the use of e-scooters below the age of 18. And that means that it's obvious when somebody too young is cycling an e-motor. It means they can be stopped and apprehended and arrested or whatever immediately. In addition to that, I'm a great fan of the Al Capone stratagem in terms of dealing with really serious criminals and criminality. And as you know, we've heard and read repeatedly and heard said you know, criminal gangs are using youngsters on e-scooters. Mm. They're either paying them or they're using as part of the massive epidemic of drug debt intimidation. They're getting youngsters to, you know, partially cover drug debt by delivering drugs and whatever else, contraband, you know, to people and so on. So, you know, there was a paper there in the 1990s in Scandinavia where they were able to apprehend a lot of serious criminals by stopping them, you know, for minor driving issues. So, you know, no tax, no registration. And that was the most successful way they found in terms of stopping these serious criminals. I think the same would apply if you had high vis, you had registration, license, and you had helmet obligation. That would make it so much easier to immediately confiscate the and as I say, the Al Capone strategies were, you know, they couldn't get him on the major issues, but they got him on tax eventually. So you're coming around the houses to sort the problem. And I do think that it would be very helpful just to give him immediate powers to the guards to confiscate.
Okay. Tom is with us. Tom's on the line. Tom, should we have a ban on e-scooters?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
So not just for the under 16 or under 18.
No.
What about the people that are using them legally?
I think they're dangerous as well. They're adults. These things can be chipped to do 80 kilometers per hour. Okay? I haven't seen this personally, but I did get a recording of one on the M1 motorway near Dublin Airport doing 80 kilometers an hour in amongst the traffic.
Yeah.
Now, you know, putting that so who's the irresponsible person? Some of the adults are worse than the children.
So you would support it if a full ban was to come in? You'd get behind that, you would.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even when you walk along, you go for a walk along the coast in Clontarf or whatever, and you have a cycle lane beside you. It's bad enough for some of the cyclists because they're a little bit erratic as well. But you got an e-scooter going along there, he'd kill you on that.
You heard John's story, you know, and the impact this had on John,
right.
And still lives with him. You know, he's concerned, been out and about in the streets now as well. Listener here makes the point, the issue isn't legal scooters, it's the illegal use of scooters. That's the problem. If children under 16 are not permitted to use them, sale of high-powered scooters, which is illegal to use on public roads, that's what needs to be banned. Almost every electrical store in the country seems to be selling compliant or non-compliant scooters due to the lack of safe, secure cycling infrastructure and decent public transport options. Many students and shift workers rely on standard scooters and they use them legally and they use them sensibly. I wish there was half as much outcry about increased brain injuries due to the increase in SUVs on our roads, says this listener. And another texter just got in touch with us literally right now to say, I have just witnessed 2 7-year-olds on an electric scrambler driving around Coolock. Keep your thoughts coming into us. 087-1400-106. That's the WhatsApp number. That's it. Tom and John, take care of yourself, John, and thanks for sharing your story. Sarah Beasley's an Aintho counsellor based in Limerick and retired consultant in emergency medicine, Dr. Chris Luke. I'm sure we'll be talking about this again.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.